come out. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our cheddar stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it.
If there's one thing I know for certain this week, people be listening. People be listening. We got all the lists this morning, and we're going to go through some of them here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But the list I think that is the most important is not one of the reporter lists, one of the publications lists at all. The list that's the most important is the one that came from Packers.com, from the Packers coaching staff, which is, of course, the Packers depth chart. Anything stand out to you, Gabe Neitzel, when you saw the Packers' unofficial first depth chart released yesterday?
Chewy, I got two words for you, pal.
Yeah.
Suck it.
What, by default?
Matthew Golden, starting wide receiver, baby. Trying to tell
Doesn't
me
this get
snap
annoying
counts
to
are going
to
be down.
I'm at my tipping point of annoyance.
Really?
Yes. It's just so annoying. Play football.
Well, thank
you. Who the hell knows what's going to happen?
Yes, they do plan on playing football tomorrow night.
Can we play football?
And then the next day, and then the next day, and then, you know, continually pretty much for the next few months.
Mm-hmm. It's just annoying. All these lists and projections and all this.
Yeah,
that's fine. It's fine to do it. Halfway.
Again, think about it. Think about this as like Christmas. You made a Christmas list.
I feel like I'm in
kid.
Meetings with Mike Sherman beating a dead horse. You know?
Well,
just play football.
Unless you have figured out the old time machine, we're going to have to wait a few more days. We're going to have to wait a few more days until the Packers actually take the field against the Lions in week one. Rookie first round pick Matthew Golden listed as a starting outside receiver over veterans Dontavian Wicks and Malik Heath. I'm not sure anybody out here is going, are you sure? Is he supposed to be above Malik Heath on the depth chart? But it is something that the rookie came in and went ahead and grabbed a number one spot over established veterans. Wicks is the example given here. But from what everybody said, he played really, really well. He looked really good. And Chew, this is where I want to go to you. I know that guys look good during camp. There have been guys who have looked good during camp and then fizzled out once the regular season comes. Is there anything you have seen from Matthew Golden that leads you to believe that what you have seen during training camp from him is smoke and mirrors and he can't continue it during the regular season?
Based upon what we've seen or heard from Jason in camp, that he, as a rookie, is probably the best one they've had in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I think he can. But where I'm confused is Goody said that Jaden Reed was their number one receiver midway through the offseason.
Goody did not say that. Jaden Reed's agent said that that's
Goody
what Goody
didn't
said.
Dispute
game
it,
of,
though, did
game
he?
Of telephone.
This is Gabe's favorite scene from Ferris Bueller all over again.
So,
game of telephone.
He should start because he's fast. He's I assume he's going to play X, which is where you want your fast guy. Because the threat with him, they're going to have to give him special attention. Cloud coverage, cover two, you know, because he can get behind you. And if he gets behind you, you're in trouble. So it's the right move. My concern is, look, Reed's going to be butthurt. He's getting close to new contract time. This is just the way it goes. If you think you're good enough to be a starter and you're not a starter and your numbers go down.
Jaden Reed is listed as a starter as well. He is listed as a starter.
Okay.
They list three wide receivers. Yeah, they list three receivers.
So
it's not the NFL.
Hopefully it won't be a problem. But it could be. It very well could be. Right? And we know the guy on the other side has a tendency to get hurt feelings at times.
Happened before.
But there's a juggling act that has to go on, and he's got to keep these guys happy. And hopefully they learn their lesson from last year, and it won't be a problem. But I'm just saying, there's potential to be a problem.
Let's hear from Jordan Love, who was talking about the rookie wide receiver this week.
Jordan, are you excited about what Matthew Golden brings to the party? It seems like he has the mystical it.
No, I'm definitely excited. I think being a receiver draft in the first round by this organization who, you know, clearly hasn't, we haven't taken a receiver in the first round since, what was it,
2002.
So I think MG is the perfect guy to just go have a breakout year. And I think the things he's done throughout OTAs and training camp just continue to get better every day. I think just the splash plays he makes has got me very excited to see what he's going to be about throughout the season. And he's going to be a guy we're going to be trying to get the ball to as much as possible.
When you look at the list of the starters for the offense, it is as follows. On the line, you've got Rashid Walker, Aaron Banks, Elton Jenkins, Sean Ryan, Zach Tom. Any surprises there, Gabe?
No, not after Rashid declared before this came out that he was starting at left tackle. Jason let us know that that probably meant that Morgan was the sixth guy, and then this list confirms it from
yesterday. At the skill positions, you have Romeo Dobbs, Matthew Golden, as we mentioned, Tucker Kraft, Jaden Reed, and, of course, Josh Jacobs, Jordan Love under center. Not a lot of surprises there. I do think that we are hopeful that Tucker Kraft takes a step forward and that he gets a bulk of the offense and is a responsible for a bulk of the offensive production. If you had to guess there with the skill position guys who has the most production this year, is it back to Josh Jacobs?
Yeah, because he's still going to be, even if they flip it a little bit, and I think that this is something you brought up last year, Chewy, that you think that Matt LaFleur wants to throw the ball more than he runs it. I still think that they run the ball a lot. I just think that maybe the ratio flips a little. It's still going to be close to 50-50 because last year it was 52% run, 48% pass. And as long as Jordan Love stays healthy, I think that can flip to 52% pass, 48% run. Even if they throw it a little bit more, like Jacobs is going to be still heavily featured.
I still don't see a guy catching 90 balls and everyone else 50, 30. I still think it's going to be, you'll have a guy at 65, you'll have a guy at 55, you'll have a couple in 40s. I think that's how he's going to attack it. And the more, you know, the more you watch the preseason here about training camp, I don't think Kraft is going to be more involved than he was last year.
Really?
Yeah, I just don't.
What tells you that?
Because you can't practice. I mean, you have to practice if you're going to put new stuff in. You have to practice it with a tight end. You can't just say, let's go out and run this route.
Yeah.
You know, it takes timing. It takes, you know, a lot of different things. So I think I think you'll just have a mishmash of receptions for five, six guys.
I guess I never know how much they are keeping close to the vest in the preseason and in training camp. Obviously, we know that there are times where the reporters are kicked out, the media is kicked out, they're not allowed to watch, so maybe you're not seeing some of those formations, maybe you're not seeing some of those plays being run, Chew. I don't know. I guess I would argue that if Tucker Kraft is not more involved in the offense, I think that's a miss. I think he's a talented player who gives them another dimension. I think we have seen growth from him, and I would like to see him have more production this season and Matt LaFleur go to him a little bit more. Gabe, am I off on that? Or does Matthew Golden and Josh Jacobs sort of go, sorry, Charlie, in another dimension, in another world, yeah, you would have been a bigger part of our offense, but we got these guys now.
I guess I'm kind of with Chewy because, yeah, I mean, you want to play things close to the vest, but at some point you still have to put it in. Like, I don't think, oh, we're going to get Tucker Kraft more involved and we're going to do it in the week where we can kick the media out and now we can install it. I don't know. It seems like you need more work than that. So, I mean, Tucker Kraft was still productive last year, 50 catches, 707 yards.
You might see...
Like, if he's around that, maybe gets up to 800 yards, a little more productive, that's still one of the top tight ends in the league.
Isn't the formula there?
For what?
The San Francisco 49ers have a guy a lot like Tucker Kraft in the style of play. He's not the focal point of the offense, but every time they use him... They use them well.
San Francisco's not as deep at receivers as the Packers is. Even though their top-end receivers may be a little better, they're not as deep.
I mean...
LaFleur just likes to spread it around. Now, you might see an exotic screen or something like
I
that.
I hate this idea that the Packers are deep at wide receiver. I hate it. I don't know if they are. They've got some guys that can play, but they haven't separated themselves. They haven't gone, oh, yeah, I deserve... Who on this wide receiving group, who in this wide receiver room stepped up last year and went, yeah, I deserve the ball?
I'm just saying, if Dobbs goes down, all right, Wicks is in. Is there really a big drop-off?
Well, no, but that's... To me, that's not depth. You have a bunch of guys.
Yeah, well, that's what it is.
That's not what depth is.
And then you throw Christian Watson back in the mix in, what, 4 weeks? Is PUP 4 weeks?
Yeah, he can start practicing in 4 weeks.
And then it's just, yeah, like you said, but if someone goes down, all right, next man up. Where San Francisco is like, oh, my God, we lose Ayuk or whoever. Jefferson, is that their other receiver? And then they go
Ricky
to their
Pearsall
fourth guy.
And Juwan Jennings.
Pearsall, and well, then they go to the,
is Juwan signed yet?
And then they go to the fourth guy, and there's a huge drop-off. You know, that's the difference. Where you have to go to Kittle or Kelsey. Kansas City's not deep at receiver.
I have at least one guy online here, guys, at RotoWire, who thinks that Tucker Kraft will be the most productive wide receiver in the NFL in 2025. Now, he admits in this article that there are obstacles to overcome. There are roadblocks for him to get around, one being the drafting and the arrival of Matthew Golden. And as I mentioned, the other one is the run game and Josh Jacobs. But the argument that he makes is that the run game was so dominant because Jordan Love's injuries. And now with a healthy Jordan Love, they should get back to throwing the ball around. And they believe that because Tucker Kraft made the leap so significantly from his rookie year to last season, that he will only continue his trajectory upwards. Are you buying that? Is there anyone here who wants to buy right now, today, September? I don't know what it is.
No.
This time of year, I have no idea what the date is.
Third.
No.
It's the third.
Good to know. Thank you, Gabe. This is why we keep him around. Anybody who wants to buy that Tucker Kraft will be the most productive tight end in the league in 2025?
No.
I will pass.
I will pass hard. Because the teams that have, like, Bowers in,
oh, yeah,
in Las Vegas,
Trey
and
McBride,
there's no one else to throw to. You know? So, of course, you're going to get most of the throws. Even though you say they're a bunch of guys, you spread it around. That's what LaFleur does.
800-990-3776.
That's what he's done. When they've had a clear cut one, but again, I go back to when they had Davante Adams, and a lot of people hated this, but in the game that they lost to San Francisco, it was very clear, hey, we trust two guys with the football. It's Aaron Jones and it's Davante Adams, and we are going to feed these guys the ball until we can't feed them the ball anymore. That was the plan for Matt LaFleur. And if you have somebody who separates themselves the way that, I don't know, Josh Jacobs has, or if you continue to see the separation of Matthew Golden, like he's going to go, oh, yeah, I can trust this guy. I'm going to continue to feed him.
But they're only going to be throwing the ball 35 times a game. 38 times a game. They're not throwing it.
That's
50.
A lot.
I mean, that's still 38. They're still going to ride Josh Jacobs.
Do you honestly believe they're going to be a bottom five team in passing plays? Because I don't.
Well, what was the breakdown last year? 52, 48?
They were 52% yes. Run and 48%
pass. One of the lowest in all the NFL.
Yeah, so they say they go 48, run 52. That's still, you're not throwing it.
I mean, that's like 100 extra routes, like an extra pass plays. That's a lot. It's a lot of production.
I want to put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter Infinity Exterior poll about Tucker Kraft. At least one analyst online thinks that Tucker Kraft will be the most productive tight end in the league. Do you agree? We'll go ahead and get that going right away. And I said it. People be listening. We got lists. We got lists on lists on lists and lists and rankings and all of the things. The one we're going to start with next is NFL execs rank NFC teams. Packers push Eagles after Parsons trade. Cowboys now underrated. We'll get to that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And then we got Adam Schefter coming up at the bottom of the hour. Don't go anywhere.
So excited to be working with our new partner, Events by Design, here at ESPN Milwaukee. And look, I understand. Kids are just going back to school. Football's just starting. If you're running a business, you might not be thinking of, you know, that holiday party that's going to be coming up at the end of the year. But now is the time to do that. And Events by Design is there to help because they can boost culture with captivating corporate events like appreciation parties, brand activations, and more. The creative team at Events by Design truly enjoys the work they do. So whether you're looking to put on a huge event, I was at the Bucks Soiree, huge gala event that was so much fun to be at, or if you're looking to put on something smaller, like those holiday parties for a smaller office, the team at Events by Design is going to be able to step up and help you because for 25 years, Events by Design has helped companies execute these successful events. So retain that top talent, invest in that culture today. Just search online, Events by Design. They design. You party.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
363.
What's that?
Oh, the number of yards they gave up on the ground against the Philadelphia Eagles.
It's a Bible verse. John 3:63. Look it up. Tell us what it
says. I thought it was Joe 3:63, and it was, thou shalt not get past me on the line of scrimmage.
On 94.5 ESPN.
here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and people be listening. NFL execs rank NFC teams. Packers push Eagles after Parsons trade. That's really the only important part, the only part that you need to know. This, according to The Athletic, they have a nice little chart with some blues and some reds where eight executives rank the NFC. No big surprise, the Philadelphia Eagles got a lot of ones and 1-2. But right there, nipping at the Eagles' heels, fellas, is your Green Bay Packers. With a ranking of a 2, a 2, a 2, a 2, a 1, and a 5. That was good enough to put them second, according to 8 executives in the NFL, in the NFC. Now, the reasons that these folks gave, scratch your head a little bit. Gabe, would you care to share with the folks the one reason that really stood out to you?
I mean, I understand why these executives go off the record. They go on the record, but on the condition of anonymity. Because when you say stupid bleep like this, holy cow. The receivers may be the best in the league. They have a couple of good tight ends, and they spent some on the O-line. I don't know where their weakness is. Maybe it is the quarterback, but I think he's going to be fine in the end. Receivers the best in the league? The receivers that led the league in drops last year? That receiving core? The one that has the leading receiver who doesn't even play 80% of the time? That's the best receiving core in the league, Chew?
Who would have said that? Let's play that game. I mean, who really?
I mean, is that a Browns executive?
That's a tough one.
Like, is it an executive from a bad team that doesn't know how to evaluate talent?
Yeah, because my question now is the offense. I mean, I think the defense... could they be top five? I think the corners might keep them from being top five, but they're certainly top 10. I mean, probably close to five.
I could make the argument that it's a Packers personnel person or a Packers executive who is saying that about their people.
But the
Packers are notoriously tight-lipped. I don't actually see an NFL executive from the Packers participating in this conversation by The Athletic.
Panthers executive? Maybe it's a Saints executive. They're always bad. They're going to be the worst team in the league this year.
I mean, it could be Bears reverse psychology, right?
Well, they're going to read this in the article and think they're good.
Like, whoa, we're really good.
Somebody thinks we're the best.
I look at Detroit and I look at Philadelphia. Their offenses are still better.
Sure.
I don't care what you say.
The wide receivers, certainly.
Yes.
I pulled up Pro Football Focus, again, not without its warts, but Pro Football Focus this offseason did rank the 2025 receiving core. Do you want to take a guess, guys? You want to try to guess where they put the Green Bay Packers receiving core?
Okay. So this is post-draft, right? So Golden's a part of it.
Correct.
12? 13?
16?
Lower.
Really?
23.
21. 21 in the league. The explanation is running back Josh Jacobs led the Packers in PFF receiving grade, which again...
Unless you're like Christian McCaffrey, who's going for 1,000 yards, I don't know if that's a good thing.
It was a career high mark, but the rest of the pass-catching unit left something to be desired. Their 8.1 drop rate, fourth highest in the league, and only Jaden Reed surpassed 800 receiving yards. Blah, 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 blah. There's a lot of names to consider in the Packers receiving core, but none truly strike fear into defenses right now. And again, to your point, that does include Matthew Golden. I think you could make the argument that he will strike fear into defenses this season.
Drew brought it up in the first segment. I am looking forward to having both him and Watson on the field at the same time. Having that type of speed on the field at the same time, and defenses trying to figure out, okay, how are we going to defend this with those guys on the outside? And I'm also really curious. We haven't talked about this a ton, but with the run game last year, they kind of drastically changed the way they ran the football to better suit Josh Jacobs, and it obviously ended up working out. Jacobs had this tremendous season, but it kind of came at the cost of the play-action game. So
doesn't make sense, because when you have a great back, your play-action game should be great.
Correct, but they were doing it differently than LaFleur typically did. So now you've got an entire offseason to try to marry your play-action game with the way Josh Jacobs wants to run, and I think that's probably the biggest thing that LaFleur had to do this offseason. Is how do we get those two things together? Still run the ball, not with the stretch zone, still kind of keeping some of that from time to time, because that's not what Jacobs likes to run in. Okay, how do we keep those combo blocks that Jacobs likes to see in front of him and marry that with the play action game.
Lest you think it's just Pro Football Focus who has it out for the Green Bay Packers receiving core. I've got the ESPN.com ranking NFL wide receivers. They have them listed at 17. A lot of some of the same reasons. Again, talking about getting your guy back, Christian Watson, but also hoping that these guys take a step forward. It says Packers apparently agreed with the disappointment. They used first round pick Matthew Golden and third round pick Savion Williams to pick some new wide receivers. So the hope, of course, is that they can take a step forward. Before we go, though, Packers ranked number two, according to these NFL executives on The Athletic. What to you seems most fair? Look, I'm excited that people are excited about the addition of Matthew Golden, Micah Parsons, et cetera, because this is an entire team thing. Two in the NFC?
If they win the division,
would be great.
Whoever wins the division is going to be the one or two seed. Whether that's the Packers or the Lions, whoever wins the division is going to be a one or two.
They closed the gap on Detroit. They didn't pass them, but they certainly did close the gap. Look, they're going to be there at the end of the day. This season is all about health. It's all about health. They can't get hurt. They can't get hurt in defensive backfield with the corners, and they can't get hurt at the offensive line. If there are serious injuries, you know, where a couple guys, then they're going to be in trouble. If they're healthy, they're going to be there in the end. They're a playoff
every team.
Careful.
You might be gushing. There's a little gushing happening.
No, I'm just being a realist.
He hedged enough in there where it wasn't gush.
What's the percentage hedge you have to include in order to not be considered gush?
50%.
Oh.
You have to balance it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're gushing, you have to balance it out. So then it's...
I'm all about CYA.
Always have been.
Giving him no spot to attack me.
All about ASS, well, if you ask me.
Huh?
That you... You're not very good at that. Do I think you're good at hedging and doing what you just did? Yes. Are you good at not leaving yourself open for Josh to get after you? No, you're not very good at that.
Ron of the Key weighing in saying, I think Love not going under center with the injury is why they couldn't play action last year. Will his thumb injury impact that again? Just to round out the list, guys, Green Bay second behind Philly, then Detroit, then Tampa Bay, then the Rams, then the Commanders, San Francisco, Minnesota, Seattle, and Arizona round out the top 10 teams, according to The Athletic and the NFL executives in the NFC. We've got Adam Schefter coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
If you're looking to play great golf, do what I did. Join a club, but not just any club. The Wisconsin Country Club. I love the golf course, challenging, fun, always in great shape. But I also love our driving range and a couple different short game practice areas so I can always work on my game if I don't have time to go out and play a full round of golf. But maybe you're looking for something more in your country club. Okay, how about this? No assessments, no food and beverage minimums, tennis, pickleball, pool, all those great things. Learn more, find out more. WisconsinCountryClub.com. It's just a fairway away.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
I would just say that right now I think all options are on the table. I think that they went through that trade thing and they talked to teams. And it's not like those talks are shut down, but they didn't go anywhere. And when they don't go anywhere, it opens up the possibility that he could be back.
Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino. Gaming, casual, and fine dining. Two golf courses, a luxury spa, and live entertainment. Your total experience is at the Island. Also brought to you by Tony Wendorf and Associates, First Weber Real Estate Services, the real estate MVPs of Wisconsin. Get started today at wendorfteam.firstweber.com.
Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by Tony Wendorf and Associates. Just like the moves made in the pros, Tony Wendorf and Associates, First Weber Group, he helps people make their own moves every day. Trusted knowledge, superior service. They're the real estate MVPs of Wisconsin. If you're looking to buy or sell a house, make the move. Get in touch with Tony Wendorf and Associates.
Great to have Adam Schefter hanging out with us today. Before we get to Adam, Joshy, can you remind me, how do you pronounce the word associated with Micah Parsons' injury?
It's a facet.
Facet. Not a facet, but a facet. Adam Schefter, that came from a chiropractor who called into the show yesterday to let us know that we were butchering the pronunciation of the injury. Yesterday, you reported, Adam, that you believe he will play this week. Is that still the case?
Yeah, I think he's got that injury. I think it's more notable than people thought. But again, I think as a general rule, when you sign a four-year, $188 million contract and your team gives up two first-round draft picks and a notable player, and you're playing a division rival when you're coming off a season in which that team had a 1-5 divisional record, I think when those things happen, generally I'm going to count on the player playing. Yes.
Adam, I still can't get over the fact I think there's something more to this. You know, we saw the report that Jerry Jones said...
Reggie White,
I know it's not the same, was a free agent. 31 yep. other teams wanted him. Wined and dined. Why would Jerry Jones say, no, play on the fifth year? And why haven't we heard another team saying, yeah, we were willing to give up two firsts and a sixth, but we weren't going to give him the $47 million? Where are those people? If this guy is the you-know-what. I can't get over it.
The bee's knees?
Yes.
Okay, Chewy.
Yes.
Let me help you. Let me help you get over it, okay?
Yes.
I believe I can do that in this particular case. Reggie White signed with the Green Bay Packers as a true unrestricted free agent in March. Mm-hmm. Am I correct?
Yes.
When everybody had a clean slate, it was the start of the new league year. Micah Parsons was traded the Thursday before Labor Day when most every team has allocated its cap space. I personally have had teams call me and say, hey, do you think the Cowboys would trade Micah after the season? And I said, I think they're going to trade him at some point. And they said, after the season? I said, we'll see. And they said, because we couldn't afford to do it right now. But we would be lined up in March. And this is why people are being critical of Jerry Jones. Is if you were going to get to the point where you were trading Micah, even if you have that meeting with him in mid-March, and in Jerry Jones' eyes, shake hands and have an agreement like he thought, and then the deal doesn't get done, Jerry would have been better off turning around on April 1, April 10, and saying, I thought we had a deal. This guy's not signing the deal. We're going to trade him now. And they might have gotten, and I would venture to say they would have gotten, more than they got now. And there would have been more suitors than there were now. But when you get to late August and you make the decision you're going to trade him, I can tell you there were numerous teams that would have been interested in trading for Micah Parsons. But there were very, very few at this time of the year that could put together a package to make it happen. In terms of the money, the cap space, all those things like that. People have floated out Buffalo, Baltimore. Doesn't it make sense to trade him to a contender that's not in the conference? Well, yeah, it does, except Buffalo and Baltimore never could afford to pay Micah Parsons and make that trade today. So where conceivably could Dallas? There were only a few places. Now, I think there are other teams that would have been willing to do it and would have gotten creative. I know this to be true, but Dallas wouldn't have been willing to deal the player to those places. So it left a much smaller market. And I would even venture to say, Chewy, if the Dallas Cowboys had been willing to ride it through this year and say, we're going to deal with the Micah drama that comes along this year, we still think we'll get enough out of him, and then tag him after the year and trade him in March, I believe they would have gotten more. I believe they would have gotten more.
But I look at Adam and I look at if Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen came available, 31 other teams, maybe not 31, but 25 other teams are saying, I don't care. We'll go get buried in the cap. We're doing it. Is it the gap is so big between Mahomes and Allen to Parsons? Or would you agree with that, Adam? Would teams be trading to get Patrick Mahomes?
Well, the Buffalo Bills spent their offseason, as an example, restructuring Allen. They played Christian Benford. They paid Ed Oliver. They paid... I mean, the Bills extended a group of about six or seven guys.
Yeah.
Okay? The Baltimore Ravens spent a ton of money. Like, these teams don't have the money today to do a deal for for Micah Parsons, Joey. Okay. They just don't.
Okay.
When the Packers traded for Reggie White, or sorry, he was an you didn't have to compensate the Eagles. You did it at the start of the new league year. Everyone was basically figuring out how they were going to spend their money, and everybody would have been interested. I would venture to tell you that if Jerry Jones had said on March 1, which he didn't,
mm-hmm.
we are willing to listen to offers for Micah Parsons, they would have gotten offers from probably 30 teams in the league.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep. All right.
Adam, you've been doing this for a long time, and I know.
Let me say this. Hold on. And I talked about this in my podcast this week. There should be joy in Green Bay. They got an incredible football player. He's one of only two players in NFL history that had at least 12 sacks in each of his first 4 years, the other being Reggie White. They got an incredible and there are a lot of people who believe, rightly so, you just don't trade great pass rushers. I go back to the story I tweeted out last week. It's true. In 1992, Carmen Policy, the president and CEO of the 49ers, made a decision to trade Charles Haley to the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep.
Charles Haley, as you know, Chewy,
yeah.
was one of the key figures in Dallas turning it around and winning Super Bowls. And Jerry Jones later said without that trade, Dallas wouldn't have won the Super Bowls. They did. Now, some 33, 4 years later, the Dallas Cowboys trade the pass rusher to the Green Bay Packers, whose president is Ed Policy, son of Carmen, president and CEO of the Packers. Now, again, you get an unbelievable player. There is a downside to this, okay, that you should be aware of. And this is the downside. Next year, this year, next year, the Green Bay Packers will have roughly $125 million in cap space committed to Jordan Love, Micah Parsons, and Rashawn Gary. Three players. Three players accounting for what's 125 divided by 300. It's a big number. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's just call it 30% of your cap. Yeah. 30% of your cap, three players. Okay? That's not a simple thing. Like, I've had people say to me that over time, they don't think that that's sustainable. Okay? Now, again, the flip side to that is that's down the line. They're going to have to make roster decisions. They're going to have to come up with money. They're going to have to hit on players that they pick in the mid rounds. They just gave up two first round draft picks. So there are issues that the Packers have to overcome. But you do that with a generational pass rusher. And you do that at a time where, frankly, Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur both are looking for long-term security and haven't gotten it from Ed Policy, right? So they're not worried about that right now.
Adam, I know you mentioned it earlier, and you mentioned it a couple weeks ago when you joined us about how, you know, everything you had been hearing, you weren't going to be surprised if Micah Parsons got traded. But at the end of the day, even though the NFL has been making more player trades in the last 5-10 years, how shocked were you that a 26-year-old pass rusher like this was actually available in a trade? Because you mentioned Reggie White. A lot of the big names that typically move are in free agency. What would you compare this to in terms of a news breaking day? How big of a deal was this for you?
I'll say this, that, on August 19th of my podcast, I posted that I thought the sides were divorcing. And the clip was posted, I believe he's going to get traded. I don't know if he's going to get traded right now or after the season, but I believe a trade is coming. And the reaction that I got from media, or not media, but report of fans in Dallas, Cowboy fans, like, oof, some angry, hot people telling me to stick it you know where, and that I didn't know what the hell I was talking about. Okay? Like, I responded to a few of those tweets over the weekend. I couldn't help but keep a couple of receipts.
It's kind of, you got to take a victory lap. I get you.
Yeah. And so I always thought that this was where I was headed. Now, I will say last week, I started getting texts. The trade was made Thursday. I'm just thinking about this now. Wednesday to me was when I said to myself, something's happening here. Like this is going on. And I was working Wednesday into the night, making a bunch of calls. And I'm just being honest, like Wednesday into Thursday, I had a hard time sleeping because I felt like a trade was coming. And we put out a story on ESPN on Thursday that said the Dallas Cowboys were listening to offers now. And then a couple hours later, somebody called me and they said, bro, you better get ready. It's coming down. And I go, what do you mean? And they go, it's happening. I go, well, we said he's going to, you know, they're listening. He goes, no, it's happening by tonight. I'm like, what? Okay. And it was something. And then an hour later, it happened.
Bro. I love that. Who talks to Adam Schefter like that? Bro.
Well, Jen, you know, the great part was I had been chasing the story earlier, so I hadn't had a chance to shower. So, like, after I followed the story that the Cowboys were listening, and before I did, I don't know, NFL, I'm trying to remember the whole day I would have in my journal, but I went upstairs to go shower. And that call came in, like, as I was about to get in the shower. And I'm like, okay, what am I doing here? Like, can I even afford to get in the shower?
Bring your phone in there.
Oh, 1,000,000%. Adam, don't tell me that you don't bring your phone in the shower.
Let me tell you something. It helped drive Woj out of the business. It was one of the reasons he got tired of showering with his phone, like, attached to the shower door. And there are many times that I do that where, like, I have, you know, there's a bathtub next to our shower. I put the phone up so I can see the texts or calls that are coming in as I'm showering. Yes. And sometimes you just have to just jump in there and make it quick.
One of my favorite details of when Adam Schefter joins the show is when his phone is just pinging next to him, as it is this morning. All right, Adam, last thing before we let you go, because we know you are very busy. Of all the games on the week one slate, and of course the Cowboys-Eagles will kick things off tomorrow night, which one are you most looking forward to? Which one are you going to be glued to?
Not one in particular. It's just the steady diet of football. But, you know, and I'll say this, Jen, I have my two fantasy drafts tonight, one at 6 o'clock Eastern, one at 8:15 Eastern. I'd be much better prepared to answer that question after I know who's on my fantasy teams, number one.
But, fair.
I would just say, like, week one, you're just watching and kind of taking it all in. And I don't know where my attention's going to go. There are so many interesting matchups in week one that could go either way. I said this on the podcast again, like, we've got a game tomorrow night. We've got the Cowboys and Eagles, and Friday night we have the Chiefs and the Chargers. Saturday night we have Michigan, Oklahoma, a bunch of college football. Sunday night we have the Ravens and the Bills.
Yes, unbelievable.
Monday night.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Vikings. Like, it's pretty crazy. The next, you know, four or five. I told my wife and the rest of my family, it was nice spending the summer with you. I'll see you on Tuesday.
And, of course, the Packers and the Lions play Sunday afternoon at Lambeau Field. Adam, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Good luck in your fantasy drafts. I did see that you have Matthew Golden listed as a late pick, as a sleeper pick, potentially, for wide receivers. So let us know if you get the Green Bay Packers rookie on any one of your fantasy teams.
I appreciate everybody talking today. Enjoy week one, and congratulations on the acquisition of one Micah Parsons.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Adam. That means a lot coming from you.
Yes, Gabe. My pleasure. Okay.
Adam Schefter joins Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every Wednesday on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.
Looking for it all in one trip? The Island Resort and Casino has you covered, just like they have us covered, bringing you Adam Schefter each and every week. Championship golf, gaming, spa, dining, and live entertainment all in one epic destination. Book your total experience now at islandresortandcasino.com.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, this world is geared towards women.
Like, what do we get? I am stepping away from this. Goodbye.
Like, what do we get? They get a comb that dries your hair. We get a stupid razor. Hey, what's the coolest thing we get? They get the hair dryer?
Control.
On 94.5 ESPN.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We turn to some funny places for support, but not everyone is a therapist, no matter how much they want to be or no matter how much they want to help, right? Good intentions and whatnot. If you want to find your right match, check out BetterHelp. I have used therapy for the past 15 years. It has been especially helpful over the last 3 years. After losing my dad, I saw a grief therapist, and they have really helped me navigate that loss, that monumental loss in my life. And if you find yourself dealing with loss or just the daily struggles that go along with being a human being, BetterHelp can help. Our listeners get 10% off if you use the code BetterHelp.com/timeout. It's the largest online therapy provider in the world. It can provide access to mental health professionals with a diverse variety of expertise. And you can switch therapists at any time if you don't feel like you're getting out of the experience what you're hoping to get out of the experience. Find the one with BetterHelp. That's HELP.com/timeout, because we are all better with help. I appreciate, Chewy, that your brain is, like, really needling you on this Micah Parsons thing, that there are all of these details and elements that, for you, are not adding up.
No.
And I will tell you this. Some people in the YouTube stream were talking about how Amber and Ian last night on ESPN Radio, Ian Fitzsimmons, who is based out of, I believe, the South, certainly has connections in Dallas.
He's in Dallas. He's in Dallas.
That he doesn't think that Micah Parsons is that great. They were pretty critical of Micah Parsons, and there have been rumors out there about him not being a great locker room guy and all of that stuff. What I will say to that is this. I think Green Bay has a good locker room. I think they have good leadership, and I think sometimes you get into an environment where, you know, look, by all accounts, some people think that the Cowboys are a buffoon franchise, to use the term that I use when we're talking about clown shows in the NFL. I don't think Green Bay is that. I think you get into that space, you realize how serious it is and how what the expectations are and that you play for championships in Green Bay. And I think you fall in line really quickly, Gabe. Is that fair?
Leadership starts at the top with ownership, right? And that dictates. So if somebody in Dallas starts to make things about themselves the way that I think Micah has the reputation of from time to time, again, that starts at the top. Like, I don't know how you nip that in the bud when literally Jerry makes it all about himself all of the time. No other owner or general manager has as many press conferences as Jerry does, because Jerry wants to be in the media.
But
nobody else has a documentary produced on themselves the way that Jerry Jones does, right?
Well,
I mean,
that's
I guess Aaron Rodgers did,
yeah.
But that is ego. But that, again, that's leadership from the top down. And I think when somebody who has that reputation gets into a locker room like the Packers have, some of it may still exist. You may have to tamp it down from time to time. But I think Keith Jackson kind of had that, did he not, have that reputation coming into your guys' locker room? And then made it about himself by sitting out for almost half of the season, only showing up so he could get his accrued season chew before then. Obviously, he went on to be a huge part of your Super Bowl. Andre Rison certainly had that.
Mm-hmm.
You guys brought him in the locker room, and outside of him not wearing a shirt on a flight where Holmgren had to go, hey, what's everybody else doing that you're not here, pal?
Great story.
Outside of that, it didn't seem like there were very many issues with Andre because you guys had a good locker room.
I just can't chalk it up to Jerry Jones being a buffoon. Okay? There's just too many things. And look, Green Bay got a steal. I think they got a steal. And hopefully he turns out to be a great player.
Well, for what it's worth, Jerry thinks that they got a steal.
But
I just saw him talking about all the players that they think they're going to be able to turn Micah Parsons into.
You know what billionaires don't do, though? When billionaires have been wronged, right, which he felt he was, Gabe, fair.
100%. He thought he had a handshake deal.
They stick it to you. They don't send you off and be like, oh, okay, let's send you where you want. They stick it to you. They make you play out this year if you're not going to play, and then they franchise tag you, and then they franchise tag you. Billionaires, there's a reason why they're billionaires. They're ruthless, right?
Yeah, but Jerry is wrong in this situation, guys. Like, you can't, there's no other way to slice
it
other than thinking
business.
That you can get a deal done with a player without their representation in 2025 is just plain, flat out wrong. And if your boss tried to do that to you, and if your boss tried to do that to you, and if somebody tried to do that to me, I would say, hey, it ain't happening. We're not doing it like this.
Wait, I'm supposed to have an agent do my deal? Chewy, you want to be my agent?
What's my cut? 20%?
20%?
20? Hey, inflation. the other thing that bothers me, and this guy is considered one of the best defenders in the league, where is another team? Two first rounders, a six, and X player. Where is that other team? Where? You got to admit that's weird. And I don't want to hear the money thing, because you can't say, oh, the cap doesn't really matter, and then now say it matters.
But I think there is a point right now heading into the season, and Josh, you brought this up, where all that guaranteed money goes into escrow. and not a lot of teams, like the Cincinnati Bengals,
have access to it,
aren't going to be putting $120 million in escrow and just putting that money away. Like some teams just, so you eliminate some teams based on that and the guaranteed money that you have to, like the legitimate business side of it and how much cash do you have on hand to be able to put into an account like that. And Shefty told you, like, there was a team that he talked to that, man, we would have given more. We just can't make it happen right now. We just can't make it happen.
The report is that there were four teams involved. I don't know if that's four other teams or four. I think it's four total teams. Packers, one of four, according to Jeremy Fowler and Don Van Natta.
But this is what I don't want to hear anymore then. I don't want to hear teams, oh, we don't have the money, right? We don't have the money. But when Adam says there's three players that are going to count $130 million against the cap and it's going to hurt, then I don't want to hear, well, the cap doesn't matter. Because you're speaking out your ass.
I mean.
Okay? I mean, I'm good at it, but I don't want to hear. I mean, that's covering both sides,
this
right?
This is a do-as-I-say, not-as-I-do situation.
If I was on the other side of the conversation, I would use it.
I will say this. Like, the one thing, and I didn't want to push back on Shefty on it, right? Because the Packers do have something they have to figure out in 3 years. The first 3 years of Micah Parsons, this year, he's less than $10 million against the cap.
So does that mean they have to win this year, Gabe?
Next year, it's less than $20
million. So they got to win in the next 2 years.
The year after that, around $30 million? Like now, year four of this deal, it's a $68 million cap hit. So obviously, that's put in there to negotiate a new deal 3 years from now because the Packers aren't going to be paying him $68 million. Or if it doesn't work out, they walk away from it. But that's the way the Packers structure these deals.
Well,
like to say, oh, they've got three guys who are going to be counting that money against the cap, that's just not how the cap works.
Well, and I think Ken Ingles, who does the cap, he's like the capologist guy on Twitter, on social media, he said that it is very similar to the way that they structure the Jordan Love deal with double options. So if you're familiar with how they sort of moved the money there to make it work for them, he's saying it's very similar in that case. But one thing, before we go to break here, before we start the second hour of the show, when you hear Keith Jackson, I immediately think of the broadcaster. Yeah. Y'all always think of the football player, I guess, maybe, but my brain immediately goes to the ABC football announcer. Can we put that on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter Infinity Exteriors poll? When you hear the name Keith Jackson, the first person you think of is the broadcaster or the former football player? Which is it?
I actually go to Brett.
When I say Keith Jackson, you think of Brett?
Yeah.
All right, put a third option there. Yeah. No. Brett Favre.
Yes.
Why?
I had breakfast with Tracy Rocker the other day. Mama brought me five flapjacks. I said, Mama, I got to only have three. I got to stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, Mama, take back five of them flapjacks. I got to stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
Oh, I got it. Well, once you started doing the thing, I got it. Still bizarre. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to in the second hour. Stick around.
Hot deals on frozen pizza this week at Piggly Wiggly. Connie's and cheese at frozen pizzas, just two for $10. That's right. Stock up on classic Connie's. And honestly, it had been a minute since I had a Connie's. Had one the other week. Ooh. It's just a little bit different. That great crust, little cornmeal on the bottom, gets nice and crispy. It is fantastic, unlike any other crust you've had. Or how about the new Craveville Cheez-It pizza? You want to talk about a unique crust? A Cheez-It cracker as the crust of a frozen pizza? That's right, Connie's Cheez-It. Two for $10. Can't beat this deal at Piggly Wiggly. You're going to need a bigger freezer.